You know, I have a, you know, Bluetooth speaker, Bose, and it was working really good with my iPhone till the time I have iOS 12. After iOS 13, I am only able to hear on the Bluetooth only when the media is played. What the iOS is speaking, like your voice over is speaking, I'm not able to hear anything on the speaker. That comes still from the phone. I really don't know what has changed that. And there's no audio routing for the, you know, voice over. So anybody experiencing same problem or any guidance anybody can tell me?
The issue was that some people were very vocal that they wanted the voiceover on certain types of devices to stay on the phone. And the reason for that is that if you're using something like an app, think about an app called like Megaphone. There's an app called Megaphone where you could put a Bluetooth speaker on the other side of the room and then you could use that to transmit through as far as like speaking through it. You want to be able to control it locally as opposed to hearing the voiceover remotely. The way the iPhone or iOS in general decides which way to go depends on the profile of the device. So there's like some that have Bluetooth hands-free protocol, some Bluetooth speaker protocol, and depending on how they present themselves to iOS, that's how it determines where the audio actually goes. For instance, some of the headphones, they actually still keep it on in the headphone, because that's a local device. But devices that appear to Bluetooth as a speaker, generally speaking now, the voiceover will stay on the phone. And fortunately, as far as I know, maybe someone online could help me out, there was no way of overriding that. There's no physical switch or anything in the settings that will force it to go to a particular device.
If I have a Bluetooth headphone, so will it be still the same way, or I will be able to hear voice over my Bluetooth headphone?
I think most headphones you'll still hear it in the headphone.
Is there any settings of which audio routing?
No.
Not found anything. No.
I have a question about Peapod. On the computer, I now have Windows 10, which I just got, and I'm using Google Chrome for the first time instead of Internet Explorer. Does Peapod work with Chrome, or do I need a different browser?
It does work.
In addition to Peapod, there's also another service that works very well with screen readers called Instacart, Instacart. And they work with Stop and Shop, Shaw's, BJ's, Price Right, and maybe there might be others, but those are the ones I can think off the top of my head. And the way it works is you put in your order online, and then you can get your groceries within the next 2 hours, the next 4 hours, whatever. Or you can even get them, say, the next day. You choose the day and the time. And it works very, very well with Jaws.
I use Instacart, and we use the iPhone app, and the iPhone app is excellent.
I have two laptops. One is messed up. I'm able to get it to boot up finally. Jaws runs, and some apps run. But a couple apps that were up when I first shut it down will not run. And I'm wondering what I can do to try to get them up. One is my mail, which I kind of would like to get that going. The other one is a text editor that I use for a lot of my editing.
Which is it? Windows Mail, or is it
a different Microsoft Outlook.
So what happens when you try to launch Outlook?
It gives me a message saying something like, your user ID is not valid for, you're not an administrator and you can't log on.
What version of Outlook is this?
It's 2007.
Okay, what version of Windows is it?
Windows 7.
You may be at the end of your rope on this one. Officially, 2007 is, there's no support for that at all.
Yeah.
And do you have all Windows updates installed on that?
Probably not.
That may be your issue. Now, the problem is I'm not entirely sure how you would go about getting them. Microsoft, sometimes what they will do is they'll discontinue support or something, but if you search their website, you sometimes find their service packs still there. I'm racking my brain on this one. I think there was some big service pack there, Office 2007, that kept it alive in Windows 7. Here's the other thing. What you said, one of your text editors is not working. What happens when you try to run that?
Goes to start. I try to run it by hitting the Windows key and going to the search, little search box next to shut down.
Okay.
I type in Ed Sharp and it says launch Ed Sharp, and then I hit enter, and it usually starts up Ed Sharp fine, but instead of going to launch Ed Sharp, it ends up in the start menu. Pretty fast too. It doesn't take very long.
And it show up, it never really does launch? Or you'll know?
It's not like it's trying to do something and then it goes to the start button.
Okay. I would actually start by uninstalling and reinstalling EdShop. That might just be a broken installation. If you actually post to the Vibug support list, the actual message with Outlook probably is something to do with a service pack update.
The second problem I have is my Outlook on my Windows 10 computer is not downloading at all. It hasn't downloaded since 2018.
You load up your Outlook profile and you can't get it to connect to your email server. Is that the issue? When you say stuck, is that it?
When I start Outlook, and you can go through the emails that it has listed there, it doesn't download any emails. No new emails.
Okay. Well, who's the email address? Let's put it that way.
Verizon.net.
The last time it worked was 2018.
Yes.
Verizon and AOL are now under the same umbrella, and they changed their email service. And it's very complicated right now. Say, for instance, if you had a Verizon email address prior to the merger, you have to use one set of servers. And if you got one after the merger, it's actually a different set of servers. I mean, you just Google and you'll find out what they are. They're actually pretty simplistic. You got to make sure you're using all the right information. If you just try to do the order discover, it doesn't always work. And it depends on when the email address was created. So the way I would approach this was I would first Google all the information. Get all your email servers, the SMTP server, the outgoing mail server. Is it still? That would be IBAP now. IMAP server, the port numbers, all that. Get that information handy. Then I would delete the profile in Outlook. I mean, if you need to save anything, like your favorite contacts, or save those calendar entries, I'm sure you don't care about a dentist appointment you had in 2018. But save any contacts you have. Then delete the profile. Create a new profile, and then make sure all that information is correct. I bet it will start working. There's two issues here. One is that you may have the wrong server settings, which, of course, nothing will ever work. Even if you do have the correct server settings, the IMAP synchronization may be so off that it can't even rebuild the folder structure. But this is nothing that isn't too hard to solve by just recreating your profile. I mean, if you have any problems with that, you could call the MCP help desk.
You can also call Verizon, and especially if you originally had an AOL email, Verizon will give you another phone number to call that will be able to walk you through how to change that.
So when somebody sends you an email, through Outlook, and inside the body of the email they send you, there's a link, and you want to send just the link to somebody else. I've cut and pasted it, and sometimes it's like activated and the people can click on the link and it opens up and they get the information, and sometimes it doesn't. So is there something particularly you need to do to make sure it's like an active link?
First of all, you have to make sure you're creating an HTML email, which you probably are. And the second thing you have to do, and this may be what the issue that you're having, is that after you paste that link into an email, hit the enter key, because you have to have a hard carriage return to actually make it an active link.
So this is the first time I've actually used Zoom on the laptop. I have connected wired earbuds right now to the laptop, and that's why I can hear you and speak with you. But I tried unplugging them and connecting to a wireless headset. And I could hear JAWS on the headset, but I could not hear when you guys speak. It's coming out over the speaker on the laptop.
So what a lot of laptops and actually computers in general do is they actually treat each device as a separate sound card type of thing. So for instance, if you have a internal sound card, that'll be one particular audio device. Then you have a Bluetooth device that's a separate audio device. So in Zoom, it's under
Join audio.
Then audio. Then there's a button that says audio settings. One's for the microphone and one is for the speakers. And one for the speaker, you'd have to set to whatever device you're using. Like, for instance, the Bluetooth headset or...
I use mouse over, you know, where you can move the mouse around in JAWS. And it's only people who can see fairly well can use it. And I was just wondering what, if anybody uses it, if they have an idea of what browser it might work very well in. It works fine in Internet Explorer, but the other browsers, I don't find it works so well.
I'll be honest with you, I've only tried it a couple times because it has no real functionality for me, but...
Yeah, it works some. It just works best in, unfortunately, in Internet Explorer, because it's probably easier for them to do it, but it's Internet Explorer doesn't work very well on a lot of websites.
We just switched to Comcast. I'm wondering if there's a place that tells what Comcast has as far as accessible video description type stuff, and also what is available in terms of movies and TV production that has video description.
AFB, if you search their website, they do have a listing of TV shows that are audio described. Okay. I honestly don't know how often that's updated. There's nothing really on Comcast's website itself that will tell you that information, which is unfortunate.
We have the talking remote.
If you're on a station and you know that you want to check and see if there's the program that you're watching is audio described, you can say to the talking remote, turn video description on or turn video description off. So if you say turn it on and they're running, you know, the show with descriptive video, it should come through. Unless there's another problem.
Also, in the Comcast boxes, all the new ones now, you could actually have the box talk to you.
The listing that Vicky Vogue sends out,
yes,
weekly with the movies and stuff,
yeah.
It does say on there all the TV shows that are described.
If you watch a show live, you could get audio description. If you go on demand, it's not there.
For Comcast, too, all you need is an X1 box, I think, and you get all of the descriptions and everything. You can turn them on if you figure out how to turn them on. And they're really helpful there if you call their you know, assistive something or other line.
Like, for instance, one of the things that really bugs me is that some channels on TV, if you turn on your description, you lose stereo.
For folks down south here, I can currently tell you Channel 5 and Channel 10. Their audio description is not working, but I have been in contact with their engineers, and at one time it was working. And I will be in contact with both Channel 10 and Channel 12 to get their audio descriptive video back working again.
Were you able to figure out whether or not it was the local station that was not passing it through, or was it the cable/satellite provider?
No, I figured it wasn't the cable because I could get it on Channel 4. And see, I only have one NBC station. Everything else, I have two of everything. So it wasn't the cable because I could get it on Channel 4. And the other thing is I went and wrote to the stations and got emails back from the engineers that said that they were unaware of it and they would get it working again.
Amazon Prime has audio description, but Comcast has an app for Amazon Prime, and when you play that, I do not get any audio description. But if I switch over to Apple TV, audio description comes in fine on any described Amazon Prime show. Has anybody had any success on Comcast using Amazon Prime with audio description?
Well, let me tell
you. When you say an app in the App Store, are you talking about for the Apple TV or for something else?
No, this is on Comcast. You can actually access Amazon.
I got you. I understand. It's an app on the Comcast box.
Yes. If you go to Netflix and you go, and audio description works there, but Amazon Prime, I don't know how to activate the audio description on that once you've activated a show using that app on the Comcast box.
So I think you have to do it prior to starting it. Somewhere in the settings, there's audio description. I mean, that part of the app may not be accessible. That may be not why you're not finding it. I'll tell you another thing you can do, since you have an iPhone. You could put the app on your iPhone, start playing it on the iPhone, and then mirror it to the Apple TV. We just bought two Amazon TVs with the Fire TV edition, where it has the Amazon Fire like stick built into the TV. And I found an app for that called Air Screen, A-I-R space Screen, S-C-R-E-E-N, which allows you to stream both from AirPlay, Apple Mirroring, and even like Chromecast to Shiba TV, which has the Amazon. So I thought that was pretty cool. So we were able to do it that way as well. It's another way we could do it.
Like with that Fire Stick, are you able to control changing channels and do things with voice using like an Amazon Echo, or do you have to use a remote?
Now, so if we had like a physical antenna, like, you know, a real over-the-air antenna plugged into the TV, we'd be able to change channels. We have the Comcast box for cable, so it can't control the Comcast box. You still need to use Comcast's remote for that, which has voice control anyway, but anyway, yeah.
You can use, though, the Echo to turn the television, like, on and off, but you can't change the channel.
But you could if we had an antenna plugged in.
You could actually turn the TV on and off with an Echo command.
And you could change the inputs, and you could change the volume, stuff like that.
And that's with a Fire Stick, right?
This is a TV, a physical TV that has a Fire Stick built in.
Okay, but you can get a Fire Stick to add to it.
Do the same thing with a Fire Stick, yeah.
So the only thing, Bob, you can't do is you can't change the channels, because you have to go through the Comcast remote.
Gotcha.
I've kind of circumvented even that a little bit, is that I put the Comcast remote app on my phone. If the TV remote is on a dresser and I want to get out of bed, I could just reach over to my nightstand and take the iPhone and change it on the iPhone.